Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of Antiques and Grannies. This time round, Dave and I will be reflecting on the 2017-18 season. It was a time of great change at Hungerford Town. We waved goodbye to one manager and said hello to two new managers. It was a season of several lows, but at the end of the season, an outstanding high. This is Hungerford Town. This is Antiques and Grannies. So, Dave, tonight we're going to be discussing the 17-18 season and what a season it was when one era ended and another started. And I think that had been in the wind, really, the way the previous campaign had finished. Although we got off to a very calm start, a 0-0 draw at Dartford, which you missed. I believe you were away for the opening couple of games.
Yeah, and like me, going away during the football season, but no, I wasn't there.
No, so my companion for the trip to Dartford was old reprobate Richard Wootton. But as I say, quite a dull 0-0 draw, but to come away from Dartford with a point is quite an unusual event for us.
So I can't say I missed the journey to Dartford.
No, it's not a nice journey, is it? Now, at the start of the season, once more, Bobby had brought in a few new faces, but I think there were no stellar signings this time, which was perhaps a portent of the changing times.
Stellar? Now you're making me thirsty, no?
Yeah, very, very good up front, she was as well. Anyway, let's start off with a few hits and misses then. Callum Wilmoth and Matt Partridge. Let's do them both together.
Well, I'm going to banned them both for me as jury still out, because I'd only seen Callum play half a dozen or so games, I think, before he done his knee.
I even
missed his long range effort.
He did, yeah.
As I was away again on holiday. Yeah. Brilliant goal, and you could see when he was on the pitch, he could offer the team lots with his passing abilities. Could always say he's always got a yellow card in him as well. Matt Partridge played well for us, I thought, and then he also picked up a injury which kept him out for probably after the pool game where it happened, most of the season, with the odd try of coming back. So we haven't seen the best of them. Hoping second time round we will see the best of them.
And I think that's exactly right why I've kind of asked you about the two players together, because we probably didn't see the best of them because of injuries, and they've both come back to us again now, so it's chapter two coming up with those two guys.
I'm not sure who it was. It might have been Chris Ryan Windmill, who said Partridge in the back three, so that could be coming up soon.
Yeah, so we have to try and talk Danny Robinson into that particular formation. Right, that was my colleague from the theatre trying to get hold of me there, but she'll have to wait. Okay, next player, Paul Stonehouse.
On the whole, I say miss, although we did see him score at White Hawk and he suffered with gout. But
we had a little chant for him, didn't we?
Yeah, your defence is terrified. Stonehouse is on fire.
Which we got to sing at White Hawk after he actually scored a goal.
He did. To be fair, he always gave his best, but I think Farnford, I'd say a miss.
Yes, I think so. Not a disaster by any means, but I think if you've got to go one way or the other, perhaps didn't quite make the grade for us. Next one, the goalkeeper, Marcus Beecham.
Yeah, no, I rated him. I thought he was a really good keeper, and it was a shame when he went, so I'd say hit.
Yes, I would agree with that. Excellent keeper, I thought, and I got to know his dad quite well as well. I always enjoyed a chat with him. But one thing I remember about Marcus's time at the club was later on that season, Spud dropped him and brought in, what was his name, Oliver Davis, I think, which we didn't quite really fathom that, did we?
And didn't work out that time.
And my memory really from that sort of time is when Paul Marcus ended up as goalkeeper for a children's penalty competition at half time, and I kind of thought to go from being the first team keeper to that was
demeaning.
But a good lad, and
good lad.
Yeah, doing well at Salisbury, although I think he has had injury problems while he's been there.
Okay, next one. Right, I'm not going to attempt a name, so I'm just going to say Frenchie.
Big hit with the fans.
Yeah.
Near enough, always one of the first over at the end of a game.
Could have become a real cult figure, couldn't he, if
He
he
could have
didn't
done,
get in
and he did want to come back,
there.
but for whatever reason, money or travel, just he didn't come back. But big hit with the fans.
Another person who returns to us, Luke Hopper. Bobby Kate said that he was coming back a different animal to when he left Hungerford. I think maybe he meant injured animal because he was injured a lot of the time, wasn't he?
I'd probably say a miss because I don't think he got the goals that maybe he should have done. But he did get one of the important goals in our victory over Poole
Yes, which
away,
I know
which
you're always keen to mention
I
victories
am.
over Poole, so I know you enjoy that one. Right, okay, now it's time now for Sarah to hide any crockery that she doesn't want smashed up because the next player on our list is Jamal Lawrence.
Who?
Jamal Lawrence.
Who? Now, to be fair, obviously, I think he was a miss at Hungerford. Could have been oh so different if he'd have got that goal at the end of the match against Billericay in the FA
I
Cup.
know exactly the chance you're talking about.
Right at the far post, coming in, could have won the game 2-1, and his career at Hungerford could have took off.
Well, what got me about that incident was, do you remember what he did straight after fluffing that header?
No, probably trying to find his head, I expect.
He tried to claim the ball had crossed the line, and it was about 3 yards away from the goal line. I felt like climbing over the hoardings, grabbing him by the arm, and leading him to his car. That was so embarrassing, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, the only other. It seems bad to speak ill of people, but you invited a friend up to watch the game for a few weeks after.
Yeah, Bogner, it was, yeah.
Yeah, and. You said we've got this player Jamal, and it hasn't worked out for him here, and he's more likely to tread on the ball
Yes, I
and
think we're
fall
being
over.
diplomatic.
Yeah, and the ball went out to him when he obviously came on, and he trod on the ball and then fell over. So your prediction was correct.
Well, if I try and be fair to him, I guess he never really got that much of a run in the side to make him a really good impression, but I don't know. You know, I've got a lot of respect for Bobby Wilkinson, but I do wonder what was going through his mind when he signed Jamal Lawrence. And the only thing I can equate it to is when my dear ex-wife Amelia was about to leave Superdrug. She deliberately put a kipper behind the refrigerator in the staff room to stink the place out. And I wonder if Jamal Lawrence was Bobby Wilkinson's kipper.
I don't like kippers.
Anyway, let's move on then. We had a few games of the season before Bobby left us. As we say, a draw with Dartford and a win at home to Weston. And I agree with you, the goal that Callum Wilmoth scored, absolute cracker. I'm waiting for him to better that one this season. But then I think we have to say the facade sort of seemed to crack. Two defeats, home to Hemel, away to Oxford City.
Butting in quickly, you're saying Callum scored that, what a goal it was. It was a right cracker. I'd like to say, I hope you're okay, Callum. So I've seen the picture of his head on Instagram. He had a nasty, great big cut on his head.
No,
So
I did see a comment about it on Twitter, I think. But
he didn't head the ball that much, so you should be all right, Callum.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be on the mend soon.
Yeah.
So 4 games into the season, and then fateful day away to Welling. I couldn't make it. I was supporting an event at the theatre. So, Dave, talk us through Bobby Wilkinson's last day in charge at Hungerford Town.
It was a weird day because we actually decided to go by train to that one, accompanied with a fair few stops on the way for some alcohol refreshments.
As you do.
Yeah, we were comfortably behind at half time. Obviously, the players went off, had their team talk, and we were gathered around by Ian Passey. And was told this was Bobby's last game in charge as he's going to hand in his resignation.
Did that come as a complete shock, or had there been vibes through the day, or
by the players' reactions? Some of them were in tears at the end of the game, It must have come as a complete surprise. Had it been on the cards with what happened the season before? Quite possibly, but Bobby came over at the end of the match and invited all the fans who wanted to, who obviously didn't drive there, to go back on the team coach, which was unheard of in at that time. So yeah, we went back on the coach, and well, in football, you know, one door closes, another one opens, and not option. And then for Spud and Bald to take over, and also Welling away was the dirty hat trick with the food, because we had a
what's in a dirty hat trick, Dave?
Well, we had a Burger King on the way to the game. We had a McDonald's after the game when the, we stopped off at the services. And then when we got back to Newbury, we had a KFC as well.
A dirty hat trick. Is that a Gavin Davis innovation?
I would, wouldn't say anything else.
So there we are then, the end of Bobby Wilkinson's time in charge. And, well, he took his staff with him, didn't he, to his new appointments at Wealdstone. He took some of our better players. You could say, I guess, it left the club in turmoil and left a bit of a sour taste. But then I think you have to say, to be honest, that's what happens in football when the manager moves on. He does take the people that he trusts around him. Look at Danny Robinson coming into us now. It's different, is it?
So we know how the Thatcham fans feel. They must feel like, oh, Hungerford, you know, got our manager. Now they're getting our best players.
Yeah.
And we thought that when Bobby went, we thought, crikey, we've lost our most successful manager. And all our best players are going now, or most of them.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, you know, Danny Robinson coming to us now, he wants to test himself at a higher level, which is fair enough. And Bobby Wilkinson wanted to test himself at a bigger club, which again is fair enough.
Yeah.
7 seasons in charge, I think it was, 2 promotions. He'd earned that chance, hadn't he?
He had indeed, yeah, and fair play to him for that.
And I think he has to be considered a success in his time at Hungerford.
He was indeed well, the most successful man in Hungerford's history as a manager. Can't argue with that.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of Bobby Wilkinson's time at Hungerford. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back to see where Hungerford went from there. So, Dave, 5 games into the season, our manager gone. There's a big decision to be made at the club, whether to appoint the next manager internally or to go external. And try and forget what we know now. At the time, did you think they made the right decision?
I think when it comes to football, everyone hopes for a big name sort of signing, even as a manager.
I'm not sure if Sam Allardyce was available at the time. I can't remember.
But knowing our budget had slashed, knowing that obviously people had gone, then it seemed the obvious choice was going to be internal.
I think it was the sensible choice, wasn't it, probably. I think what the club needed more than anything probably was stability. So from that point of view, it probably was the right decision. And John Boardman and Ian Herring, two Hungerford legends.
Yeah, great servants to the club.
Yeah, great players for the club. And if you cut them in half, they'd probably be like sticks of Hungerford rock, I should think. So I think they certainly had our backing from day one.
Every manager does, to be honest.
Well, true, yeah. So there was no time really to get their feet under the table, straight into the action. And I think they started with a understandably disjointed performance and defeat to Gloucester City 3-2. But they then followed 3 wins in a row, 2 of which were on the road at Poole and Bognor. And they must have been thinking, crikey, this management lark is a piece of cake. And then he said something else then. Time to put the feet up and get the cigars out. And that was the time when, around this time, when we got a certain Jordan Simpson on loan from Forest Green Rovers. Any thoughts on him as a hit or miss?
A miss for me. Encouraging first game debut. I think he set up the goal. I think Ken said it was a best misplaced pass he's ever seen, which might be a bit harsh on Jordan. I think he meant that. Ken, another person who's going to be sadly missed around the club, having stepped down from his role. Jordan Simpson blew it for me in an away game. Header at the
back post and he just ducked underneath it, thinking that there was someone going to clatter him from behind instead of...
Yeah, a bit of a rookie cup replay, I think, wasn't it?
It was a brilliant chance and he just totally bottled that one and I didn't like that.
And I mentioned there Billericay, of course, that cup exit in the original tie. That's where we lost Callum Wilmoth to that bad injury, where I'm not sure if it's Jermaine Pennant or our own Scotty Rees who cut into him, but the
Either
result
way,
was the same.
Yeah.
But never mind, we lost Callum Wilmoth for a while, but we did get in Anton Rogers, so hit or miss for Brendan's boy.
I'm afraid it was a miss again from me. Nice to see Brendan down at the club for a couple of games, but no, it didn't do it for me, although he did help us in a way stay up because he did play to the end of that season.
Yes, he never really really clicked, did he? I don't think, if we're being honest. So in the league, we got a couple of heavy defeats along the way. One I remember at Braintree, a 5-0, which was a particularly poor performance, I thought. I do remember Stephen Brown and Scotty Rees coming over and apologising that day, while the rest seemed to sort of slink off rather wanting to leave the stage, I think.
Two nice lads as well, Stephen and Scotty.
Yeah, Hungerford through and through, weren't they? We did get a fine 3-0 win at Whitehawk. I'm not sure if that was the one where Windmill got a little bit inebriated or whether that was an earlier visit.
He did, that was hilarious, hanging off the scaffolding.
Then just after that win, we went through a rather long goal drought, which is unfortunate because our media team had been running a goal of the month competition. But during the month of November, we didn't score any goals, so that competition had to be shelved. And that was despite bringing Alex Wall into the squad. Now, Nigel Warwick, the outgoing chairman, or soon-to-be outgoing chairman, told me that Alex Wall was going to be the best striker in the division. And he wasn't wrong, because when he moved to Concord, he couldn't stop scoring, could he?
Yeah, but... To be fair, if you're asking me if he's a hit or a miss,
yeah, I will. Yeah.
I'd have to say he was a miss for Hungerford.
But because of the injuries.
Yeah, but to his credit, he was injured, but then he'd still tried to come back and help us.
Yeah.
Much to adding to his injury list. And it shows when he's fit how many goals he got for Concord.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah, and I've got something else to mention in Alex's favour in a few minutes as well, which we'll come back to. But what I wanted to touch on now was included in that run of games where we failed to score a goal was a 1-0 defeat at Bobby Wilkinson's new club.
You're nearly right.
Yeah. his new club, Wheelstone, or as we called it, his old club, Hungerford. He had so many of our players by then. I remember we played well and lost to a very late dubious penalty. But I also remember the day for a couple of other things. The first one being we actually took a whole coach load of supporters besides the players' coach.
Yeah, it was one of our best turnouts of the season, if not the best turnout of the season.
Well, it was, but I'm going to put this to you. We've never taken a coach like that before or since. Was it a bit petty of us, or am I being a bit too, I don't know, reading too much into it?
The only thing I'll correct you on there is we had taken a coach before because we took one to Chester.
Okay. In
the trophy.
I stand corrected. Well, I'm sitting down. But
yeah, sit down corrected. I think a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon of let's go and have a go at Bobby and the players.
Yeah.
It nearly worked in the first couple of minutes because Matty Day nearly scored an own goal, flicking a header on up at one end. But... No, I mean, it's nice to take a lot more away.
Yeah,
but
I like the fact that there were a lot of people there.
And they got behind the team as well, but they also did a few negative things.
Yeah, I'm just not sure it was done totally for the right reason. But yes, sorry, I'll interrupt you there. The next negative thing is probably the same thing I've got down here, Dave. What was the negative thing you were going to mention?
Main one for me, I mean, I'm all for giving players a bit of stick now and then, but... I think Harry was waiting to come on as a substitute in the second half. No surprise there, Harry.
Yeah.
But he got booed, and I wasn't happy with that.
No.
And I said at the time, and a few others have said, "No, don't boo. That's not right."
No, because I think what people may have forgotten there was Harry Goodyear didn't leave Hungford to go to Wealdstone, did he? He'd left at the start of the season, gone back to Kent for personal reasons.
Yeah.
And yes, Bobby Wilkinson brought him back to Wealdstone because Bobby wanted people around him that he could depend on and trust, and Harry's that sort of person. Harry never let Hungford down when he was with us. Great character to have around the club.
Always gave his all.
Yeah, and he just didn't deserve that. And I know Ken said that Harry said to him, "Why are they booing me? I don't understand why they're booing me." And that is the one reason why he celebrated Wilson's late winner, was that he's being booed by Hungford supporters.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. I mean, I'm not a fan of booing ex-people. Mm. For one, especially what they've done at the club and how they've performed is one. And two, sometimes it comes back and bites you on the bum anyway, and they go and get a winner or something like that.
Yeah, I thought that let us down a little bit on the day. Anyway, let's move on from that. So it was December the 2nd, after 704 minutes of playing time, when Hungford finally scored another goal, a goal by Tom Meacham. His only competitive goal for Hungford. Can you remember where that was, Dave?
Yeah, that would be at Chelmsford away.
It was indeed.
And you said it was a bad month for the goal of the month team. It was also a bad month for you because you were growing your moustache and it carried on, and you said you wouldn't shave it off until we scored the goal. Again.
Yeah. And it did come off that day. Tom Meacham scored in the 86th minute, and by the 90th minute, the moustache was gone. But I must say this also about the moustache. It did get me, Andy Waller, and his son Sam in on a family ticket somehow.
Because you were deemed as an OAP or something?
Well, I'm not quite sure what I was deemed as, but the poor guy on the turnstiles was too embarrassed to ask why we were a family, so going in as a family, so we managed to make it, and I think it's on the strength of my moustache.
And it was one of my better celebrations, I think.
Oh yes,
because as when he scored, there was a lovely little sort of stanchion pole holding one of the net sides of the net up, and I thought, I'm going up on that if we get a goal.
Were you told to get down?
Yeah, I was by two security. they said, get down and we'll throw you out. And I said, look, we've not scored for about 10 games. I'm going to get up here and celebrate. And with that, they sort of smiled and let me get on with it.
Good. Funny stewards at Chelmsford. I remember one's particularly chatty, but the rest are a little bit jobs worth for my liking. Anyway, goals remained a bit of a premium. Warren Bentley had gone off to Poole, I think it was. Louis Sauce was popping up with a few goals, but Stephen Brown, Alex Waugh, Luke Hopper, none of them were fit, and that pretty much left us with Jamal Lawrence. So, as I say, goals were still scarce. But we went into Christmas and New Year and did the double over Chippenham, which is obviously very enjoyable. And can you remember a little bit of comedy gold from the away win at Chippenham?
That would probably be when we were 1-0 up and got given a penalty.
Yeah.
And Stephen Brown stepped up and his penalty shot was saved, to loads of jeers and howls of laughter by the Chippenham fans who were in the same end as us.
Yeah, just to our left, weren't they?
Yeah, so we turned round and we started singing, because we were winning, 1-0 to the Hungerford.
Yeah.
And
before you could finish the chant,
Stephen had put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And without breaking stride, it went from 1-0 to the Hungerford, 2-0 to the Hungerford.
And the Chippenham fans looked absolutely nonplussed, didn't they? Sort of so surprised, really, that Stephen Brown has scored so quickly after having his penalty.
It's always nice to get one over Chippenham, because their fans have been a bit derogatory about Hungerford's fans over
the years,
the period, and it's always nice to get one over them.
Got their comeuppance that day. Let's move on a couple of months. Now, I remember it was after a defeat at Havant, we suffered a real double whammy. The first thing being Stephen Brown leaving the club, although he was injured. I think we just had to get him off the wage bill as much as anything, but it's a shame to see Stephen going. And then, of course, John Boardman and Gary McDonald being relieved of their duties. And for John Boardman in particular, it's a real shame for his time at the club to come to an end.
He probably could have had a testimonial,
same
as Luke Brewer from years before, been at the club for ages.
And I know the acting chairman, Steve Skipworth, said it's one of the hardest things he's had to do, to tell John Boardman he's been let go.
Well, I probably imagine he's telling the truth as well. It was a really hard decision. Yeah.
We also came to learn that the players were being told they were having to take pay cuts. And, I mean, who are we to judge how anyone would respond to that? But it did appear to me that Matt Williams and Luke Hopper couldn't get out the door quick enough, whereas you had others like Clarkey and Reece Tyler who knuckled down to ensure we stayed up. And this is where I'm going to go back to Alex Wall for a moment, because I heard that he offered to take a bigger pay cut because he felt he hadn't really justified his pay on the pitch of his performances. And I think that says a lot about him.
It says a lot about his character. And, you know, if we'd have thought about it, we would have given him a nice big round of applause for a gesture like that.
Yeah. And also, of course, the other person we need to mention here, I think, is Spud, a young manager, and what a testing time this was to go through. And he was the one who was going to have to try and keep us up in the league that season.
It was, because, I mean, he had the decision, do I still play? Do I play and manage? Do I just manage?
Yeah.
And sometimes when he was just managing, we missed him out on that pitch. And I think a few of us had said to him, we needed you out there.
We needed his leadership
and,
on the pitch.
And he did come back and play, and
we
did help.
Needed to clone him or something, I think. Now, Spud, around this period of time, and certainly the next season or so as well, tended to rely on the loan market quite a bit. And he brought in a couple of gems, didn't he, from Bristol Rovers. Do you remember those two players?
At that time, Lewis Lee Gilchrist.
Yes.
And the other one, well, we've had Cam Hargreaves, we've had Rhys Kavanagh. Alfie Kilgore was probably the same time as Lewis Lee Gilchrist. If you're going to ask me if they were hits or misses, then top of the pops, they're both hits.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Lewis scored some important goals for us.
Yeah.
And Alfie, well, he's in the Bristol Rovers first team now, isn't he?
Yeah, he was so solid in defence, Alfie. Yeah. You could tell he was destined for bigger things.
Yeah.
Lewis Lee Gilchrist had been excellent for us, because, as you say, he popped out some crucial goals, some good goals, even the one at Torquay where we won 1-0.
Yeah.
And also one of my favourite songs about Lewis Lee Gilchrist.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I won't go into that, but it's based on the Ronaldo one where he plays on the left, he plays on the right. Lewis Lee Gilchrist will make you look...
Alfie and Lewis, they certainly contributed a lot to us staying up. Although, having said that, we went on a run of losing 8 games out of 9. The one vital game we won in that period is when we thrashed Paul 4-0. 2 goals by Lewis, 2 goals by Louis, and I remember an outstanding performance on the day by Nick Bignall. So it all boiled down to the last day of the season at East Thurrock. We've spoken about this before. We needed to match Paul's results to stay up, and both sides won. So we survived. And yes, well done, Ian Herring. It was not an
easy
task.
Not the easiest baptism, was it?
No. So there we are. That's the end of the 17-18 season. What a tumultuous, I can't even say the word, tumultuous, nervy season that was, for different reasons. We knew at the end of that season that a lot of the players would be moving on because of the financial constraints we now had placed upon us. We knew that Ian Herring would have a rebuilding job on his hands. Anything you'd like to say in conclusion about that period of time, Dave, that season?
Well, obviously fantastic to stay up with what had gone on, and to do it and over Paul as well again.
Yeah, yeah.
As you can tell, Paul are one of my least favoured clubs, along with Chippenham, who I don't normally call by their name. But
I do remember the rumblings coming out of Paul was that we deserve to be staying up. We're much better than Hungerford. Well, we did a double over you, old sons. So there you go.
Yeah, as you say, Spud had no rebuilding jobs to do. He should have been probably working for Wimpy Construction. Yeah. His building so much up, but no, great servant to the club.
Yeah.
Sad to see him go, but you know, football, you just keep moving on, don't you?
Well, we've got another almost another 2 full seasons to be able to talk about Spud, because it wasn't the end of his time yet, because we're going to draw a veil over it here, Dave, and I'll see you again next time.
Will do.